Let us turn again in God's Word to Romans chapter 8. And as we come to this sunlit summit of the Word of God that brings us to these great truths, we have this question before us. Are there two kinds of Christian? We read in verse 5, those who live according to the sinful nature have their minds set on what that nature desires. But those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their minds set on what the Spirit desires. The mind of sinful man is death, but the mind controlled by the Spirit is life and peace. The sinful mind is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. Those controlled by the sinful nature cannot please God. Some people imagine that there are three kinds of people in the world: those who are the non-Christians, and then two kinds of Christians: those that are the spiritual Christians and those that are the carnal Christians, the good ones and the bad ones. Some have refined this two kinds of Christians into Christians who are spiritual and those who are carnal. And as we look at this passage, certainly right there upon us is that reality that there are those who are spiritual, who are led in accordance with the Spirit, and then there are those who are carnal, those who are living according to the flesh. Are there two kinds of Christians in the world? I believe, as we read the whole of Scripture, there are really only two kinds of people on planet Earth: those who live according to the Spirit and those who live according to the flesh. And there aren't two kinds of Christians. An international organization well known in Christian circles actually has the whole theory of the carnal Christian. All you have to do, as they teach in their literature, is to accept Jesus as your personal Savior, and you can go on living according to the flesh. And if you want to, later on, you can accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior and live according to the Spirit, if you want to, as they say. This is not just a theory. It has gone into the way of thinking into many of our churches, even into the preaching of the gospel in our day, that you can preach the gospel as Jesus is the Savior, but you don't have to accept Him as Lord of your life. People have built their hope of eternal life, heaven itself, on their being a carnal Christian for the time being, that they can live as they please according to their own sinful nature and have Jesus as their personal Savior. What does the Bible teach? Paul has set forth the gospel of God here in Romans. He begins with this glorious gospel of God's Son. He paints to us in chapter 1 the reality that we have a world that worships the creation rather than the Creator. We have those who worship the divine self in the 21st century. We live with that reality all around us. Man worshiping himself and that divinity within him as man speaks. Modern man has given himself over to these shameful lusts and passions in the 21st century. And Romans chapter 1 paints that very real picture of exactly what we have in our world today. But Romans 2 tells us that even those that have the law of God, they're without excuse, just as those who sin, worshiping themselves without the law of God. That all men, everywhere, as Romans 3 says, are guilty before God because all have sinned. The Jews, though they have God's law and word, but as Paul says, A man is not a Jew if he is only one outwardly. No, Paul says, a man is a Jew if he is one inwardly. All have sinned. All have fallen short of being what God has created us to be, made in His image for His glory, bearing His glory in all creation. Every one of us here this day, we fall short of the glory of God. We are those that are God's image bearers for His glory. And there is only one way of salvation, and that's that way of redemption that is through Jesus Christ. It comes through Him. Reality is there are only two kinds of people in the world. Those that are Jews and Gentiles? No, that's not what we're talking about. Those that are of one color or another? No, that's not at all what Paul's speaking about. Those that are in Christ Jesus and those who are not. Only two kinds of people in the world. In Romans 8, the very beginning, there we have the reality that there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Are you in Christ Jesus? There is blessing. If you're not in Christ Jesus, God's curse rests upon you. That's reality. Looking at this passage, I want us to look at those who are described here for us, the characteristics that are given of those who are not in Christ Jesus. Those who are not Christians, what do they look like? Who are they? What are they all about? Here it speaks of them very clearly and plainly. The non-Christians, the descriptions are given. The translation that's before us can be literally given. They are those, as verse 5 says, who live according to the sinful nature, or literally the sinful flesh. They are those who are under the control of their sinful nature, the flesh. They're dominated by their fallen nature. Now, we're prone to think of that as something that would be in some scandalous way. Always those particular kinds of sins that we think of as being of a scandalous nature. But it's interesting when Paul speaks of the sins of the carne, the flesh, he spells those things out. And turn with me and look with your own eyes at Galatians chapter 5, those familiar words of Galatians 5, verse 19. And there the apostle gives to us that picture very vividly. In verse 19, he speaks of the acts of the flesh, or the acts of the sinful nature are obvious. Sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, idolatry, and witchcraft. But notice these inward elements. Hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. And what does he say? I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. There is a plainness in the Word of God. Those who are not in Christ, those who have those works of the flesh controlling their lives, they will not inherit the kingdom of God. These are not just down and outers, those who are drunkards or druggies. They are those who may look very nice outwardly. But as Paul says, even those who are involved in that way of life, they will not inherit the kingdom of God. Notice verse 5 of Romans 8. It has that word according, or at times we may take it as under. Their mindset is according or under the flesh. There are folk who are socially fine. They wear a nice suit. They can come with being clean, educated. They're those, though, who are living under the flesh. Their whole mindset is according to the works of their sinful nature. They are not carnal Christians. They are outside of Jesus Christ. Verse 6 speaks of their realm of death. Listen to those words. The mind of sinful man is death. And there before us is their whole realm. Death. Literally, to have the mind of the flesh is thanatos. Death. Everything related to them is that of death. We must see that there is this spiritual death that is very real. Dead. That is, they're dead to God as they really live, as if God doesn't exist. They may be able, cultured, educated, very civil and morally outstanding as far as their community, but they're without God and they're dead. Physically they exist, but they're dead spiritually. Don't we have that? People come and they hear the good news of Christ. They hear the preaching of the gospel, and to them they sit here bored. They can't understand, what is this all about? Why all these things? There may be brilliance as far as their mind intellectually. Culturally, they may have a great deal of history and understanding of things in the world that we live in. But the things of God are spiritually understood, and they can't understand these things. They're a mystery to them. They say, what is he talking about? What's all of this about? They're waiting for somehow or another to be entertained with political things or with those things of what they consider to be important, the worldly talk of this world. But they're dead to spiritual things. There's no real life and understanding within them. The mind of the flesh. Verse 7 has that expression. The sinful mind, or the mind of the flesh, is hostile to God. It's not speaking here of another kind of Christian. Here it's speaking of those who are at odds with God. Their way of thinking doesn't have God as the center of their thinking. They really are carnal. Not carnal Christians. Now we have thousands, or I may say millions, who've made their decision to accept Jesus as a personal Savior, but they don't live their life according to the Spirit. They live their life according to their sinful nature as they please. What's wrong? Carnal Christians? Are they Christians if they are still at odds with God? Are they really a child of God if they're living according to a different nature and a whole different way of thinking? If they're still under the flesh, dead spiritually, at odds with God? Now, someone here this morning might say, yes, I live according to the flesh, but I'm interested in God. I even come here to worship God. I do all these things, and I read about God, and I talk about God, and yes, I'm interested in these things, but I ask you the question, which God? Is it a God of your own imagination? One that you want to be like this so you can live like this? Are you talking about and worshiping and living for a God that you've created yourself? A God constructed by man isn't the God who is. A God without power and holiness, a God without justice, and a God without wrath is not the God that's revealed Himself to us in Jesus Christ. These people that are described here are hostile to the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. They're hostile to the God of Isaiah, who is holy, holy, holy. There is hostility. They're at odds with Him. Notice verse 8. As we have this description given, it says, those controlled by the flesh, the sinful nature, cannot please God. There's an inability. They really are helpless to please God. I would remind you this morning, all of you here, if you are a Christian, you didn't make yourself a Christian. If you're not a Christian here, you can't make yourself a Christian. You're unable to please God. It's not within your power. We have at the top of our bulletin there this morning a word from the doctor, Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones, speaking on these very words. He says, the natural man, this man after the flesh, is completely helpless. He cannot choose to love God. You cannot love God and hate Him at the same time. Why should a man who is at enmity to and a hater of God decide suddenly to love Him? There's no reason. His whole nature is against Him. His whole bias, His whole bend, everything in Him is opposed to God. He is in complete and entire helplessness. He is dead. And there's nothing more final than that. That's the description of those that are spoken of here as being helpless. Who is helpless? Those that are not in Christ Jesus. There's a contrast, not between two kinds of Christians, but of two different peoples. Those that are in Christ and those who are living according to the flesh. Look very briefly with me at the Christians that are described here. What are they like? It's not speaking here of their clothes or their hairstyle or how their nails are, or whether they're barefooted or in high heels. It's not speaking of any of those outward things. It deals with that which crosses over all the cultures and countries and climates and everything else on this planet. And it speaks of man as he is before God. What is the description? What is a Christian before God? There are positive terms that are given here for us. It's not whether man is not this or not that, not a dancer or not whatever it may be in your list of sins. Christians still fail with sins and they still fail others. That's reality. But a Christian is one that is described here in a positive picture. This great description is given to us that he's under the control. He lives according to the Spirit with a capital S. There's something that's controlling the life. There's something that has changed the way he thinks and what his motives are and who he is and why he lives. Inside of him, he's dominated by the Spirit of God. Verse 14, it tells us that he's led by the Spirit. Verse 4, it speaks that he's living according or under the Holy Spirit. Here, it speaks of one who has come to be dominated by the Spirit of God. Whether he's a husband or a wife, there are interests that one has. A father or a mother, a son or a daughter, there are all the real interests of life and everything goes on. Might be a professor in a university or a mechanic that's working with cars or all those different professions of life. But there's something that overrules it all. There is a pursuit of God within. There is a desire, that interest that is overwhelming. What is all important is God. He lives according to the work and Spirit of God. He delights in God. God has declared him righteous and he can't get over how gracious God has been to him. God has come and given him a spirit of prayer to pray and to know God. He's one who now has life and peace in God. It's real. He knows these things. And God is that one that he pursues with all that's within him. There was a time when he was interested in all the power that he might be able to gain, or the fame, or the money, or whatever it may be, of houses and cars and things. But it all seems to be small stuff now. God is at the center of who he is. He's not some artificial display of flowers. He's real. He needs watering, cultivation. There is that working of God, that growth that's real. But God is the one who's giving increase in his life, and he knows him. And let me just say that as you read this passage, as he lives his life according to God's Spirit, he understands things. There's been an understanding given to him by the Spirit of God. We can open up our newspaper this morning and we read of all the turmoil of our world, whether it's in Israel, Lebanon, Iraq, or in Mexico, or on our own streets here in Mesa, Arizona. But the Christian understands those things. He knows that man with his corruption, man with his greed, man with all that is his very way of thinking and living according to the flesh, he understands that only the gospel of Christ can change him and change this world we live in. A world without God, trying to build itself up in God's place, worshiping the creation instead of the Creator. He understands that world. And he knows that all religions are not one. He knows that the religions of terrorism are wrong, and that God will bring justice and final judgment in this world. He understands that only the good news of Christ can change people's hearts. He has heard Jesus say, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me." He knows that there's only peace in him. He is our peace. The Spirit of God gives him this understanding. Read with me these words of John in 1 John chapter 5. I think it's important for us to see these afresh with our own eyes. There is an understanding that's given to him. He understands. He is a Christian, understands these things of our world. We read in verse 18, "We know that anyone born of God does not continue to sin. The one who was born of God keeps him safe, and the evil one cannot harm him. We know that we are the children of God, and the whole world is under the control of the evil one. We know also that the Son of God has come and has given us understanding, that we may know him who is true, and we are in him who is true, even in his Son, Jesus Christ. He is the true God and eternal life." There are not two kinds of Christians in this world. There are two kinds of people on the face of this planet: those that are living in the flesh, and those who come to understand life under the Spirit of God. Where are you this morning? In which group are you in? I would ask that you stay with me just a few more minutes, that we would apply these things, that God would give us His Spirit to apply these things to our minds and hearts. First, as a church, we're part of a stream of historic Christianity. The Spirit of God has led His church all down through the centuries. Yes, we have roots, and we're going to stand for the gospel of God's grace. We're going to preach that Jesus Christ is Lord. And that's part of the very gospel itself. There's no place for carnal Christians that can live according to the flesh in the gospel of God's sovereign Lord Jesus Christ. Our roots are deep. They go all the way back with all the great confessions of faith and the great creeds. We stand with those who have preached the gospel as martyrs, as those who have confessed the truth before kings and queens. We stand with those who have given their lives for these truths. Our roots go back to a tree that is unmovable, the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Our roots go back to an empty tomb of one who is Lord, and we will preach His Lordship, and we have no place to be changing the gospel for some carnal Christian theory. We have that unmovable tree in the Lord Jesus Christ. And I believe that in a time when there's so much compromise and accommodation to the culture we live in, let us stand firm in this world of shifting sand as a church, and then as individuals, that this would be applied by God's Holy Spirit to us as individuals. Are there two kinds of Christians? Are you under the influence and the power of the Holy Spirit, or are you living according to the flesh? Those aren't two kinds of Christians. One is Christianity, and the other is living according to this world and the flesh, the sinful nature. I say to you, if you're a Christian, you're under new management. Think with me of an industrious young man who buys a faltering business and tries to change everything, and he builds everything outside new and everything inside new. He remodels it all completely new. Does he then put it under the same management? No. He puts outside a big sign and it says, "Under new management." It has the same address. It's the same location. But it's been changed. Transformed. It's under new management. And if you're here as a Christian, you've been put under new management. Life is according to the Holy Spirit. Life is according to God's Word and His truth. You are not some carnal Christian, but you are to live life under the Spirit, under the new management of the Holy Spirit. I ask you this morning, if you're here and you've never really come to bow to Him, or if you're here and you need to bow afresh to Jesus Christ, ask for that new management to take over, that you'd pray, even with me, with these words, "God, I know I've sinned against You and rebelled against the rule of Your Holy Spirit. I repent of all my ways and sins. Clothe me with the goodness of Jesus Christ. From head to foot, make me His righteousness. Send Your Holy Spirit so I can live under His power and purpose. I submit to live under the Spirit of Christ in my inmost being." Let me say, life under the new management isn't always easy. There are going to be difficult moments, but life in the flesh is death. God gives you, under His Spirit, both the will and the action to do His good pleasure. You can count on His management to be good for you and to bless you and to be for that ultimate purpose of all things, God's glory. Now, you can publicly identify with Him through baptism at the Lord's Supper. "He is my Lord. I'm under the management of the Holy Spirit, and He is Lord of lords and King of kings." Let us pray. Our Father, we thank You that in Jesus Christ we find life and peace. We thank You for the privilege that we are Your people. Whatever people may call us, or whatever failures we may have, joined to Jesus Christ, in Christ, there is now no condemnation. And we have the privilege of living under the dominion of Your Holy Spirit. Come, O Spirit, and work in all of our hearts and lives. For your glory we pray. Amen.